Om Shanti. This evening, we are very much blessed with the presence of Brother Ramesh, our respected brother, one of the brothers in the Trinity at present, in Gyan over 50 years. I know him since 40 years, since I am in Baba's knowledge. And he has played very important role in the history of our Yajna. Because of his presence in Bombay, and most of the Vadadis, Baba and Mama used to go to Bombay for checkup, and he played a very, very important role. When the Foreign Service started, Brother Ramesh was the one of very important brother who always gave lot of courage and moral support to all the sisters and brothers who went from India. And he himself visited many places in the foreign countries. And he's continued to give that support to all of us. And of course, he's a person who do all the accounts in our yajna. And he's very experience, I'm sure that his experience will give the great courage, happiness, and a lot of experience you will feel from him. And we are very happy to welcome him and give the podium to him.
Om Shanti. Sister Hemlata said that we are all blessed. In fact, I think I am blessed because I will be able to establish my contact connection, and also I would like to pay my respect to all of you, because I know, you see, you have dedicated and devoted your time, energy, money and all those things, and you have come here from various countries of the world. We are here only, so we have not done so much of sacrifice to be here with you. But you have done lots of sacrifice. And so, to give my respects to your this sacrifice, all those things, you see, which you have done, because of which you are here. And you have adopted Baba, you see, it's a very great challenge. Because I know in the West and other countries outside India, how difficult it is not only to sustain ourselves also, but also to do godly service there. I know I have got that first-hand experience, and therefore I know it very well. Today I am asked to speak on the subject of, or to discuss on the subject of unlimited service. I don't know what I can speak on this subject because it is known to you all, this unlimited service, godly service. You know, we have got four topics in our this godly university. One is godly knowledge, the other one is Rajyoga, the third one is inculcation of these divine virtues in our own personal lives. And the fourth one is doing godly service. First three, they are based on our own self. We have to study knowledge and imbibe this knowledge. We have to do yoga. We have to remember Baba. We have to inculcate these divine virtues in our own lives. So in case of the first three, only we are concerned. But in case of this godly service, we are concerned with others. I remember once, Sakar Brahma, Baba, you see, I mean, he said in his Murli that those who are on the throne of Baba at the present in this world, in this confluence age, will be able to sit, only those will be able to sit on the thrones of, in the golden age. So I asked Baba that which is the easiest method of reaching your heart and to sit on your throne, on your heart, in your heart. And Baba said that the only course open to is doing godly service. More you do godly service, more you are on my heart, on my throne, and more you will be in a position to develop your own future kingdom. Because after all, if you want to establish your own kingdom, you require people there. And how you will get people in your kingdom in the golden age? Those people, you see, will be those with whom you are at present in this world in contact, or those who get sustenance, or those who get at least even the message of godly service. So this subject is very important, and Baba has also said that you have to secure marks in all the subjects. It's not that you secure distinction mark in one and you do not secure distinction marks in others. Those who secure distinction marks in all the subjects, they only get highest rewards. So this is how, you see, godly service is also equally important in order to attain higher status in the godly, in the new world or in the godly golden age. Sister was telling us that I am here since last about 50 years. I know this institution right from 1952. And I know how godly service has developed in all this last, from the time when I came into contact in 52. In those days, you see, you know, sisters, they were not known to anybody. They were here only, in India, I mean, they were in India from Pakistan, because Pakistan was formed in 1947, whereas sisters came here in 1950, that means after 3 years of the partition of India. So they were not known also, and there were many rumors also, what is this, who are they, you see. In some cases they thought that they are not Hindus also, they are here to convert people and what not. All those questions were there, you see. Doubts were there also. I remember one of those doubts was that, oh, if you take this knowledge then you will have to renounce your family life, you will have to leave your home, you will have to leave your job, or you have to leave your family and all those things. All those things were there, you see. And then you see in that atmosphere to do godly service was a big question. I remember in 1957, we had this discussion at my home in Bombay, because in those days, this criticism was there, that if you take Brahma Kumari's knowledge, then you will have to renounce your family life, you will have to renounce everything. And therefore, there was that misunderstanding that we destroy family life, we destroy peace in the family, and all those things were there, you see. Then we were thinking how to face this particular question, and how to do godly service. That was in 1957. At that time I was not Baba's dedicated child or adopted child, but I was just a cooperative soul, cooperative child. I had great respect for Baba, but not adopted Baba as my spiritual father, but as Laukik Guru of my mother. But at that time, you see, we had this discussion on this subject, that how to mold public opinion and how to do godly service by molding public opinion in favor of the institution. That was a big challenge. Particularly about these things, because you see, the sisters, when the institution was started, they were living with their family and they all left their families and they came here. So because of that, this early days criticism was there against the institution. And therefore that climate was not there for doing godly service. And then a relative of mine, you see, he said that, why not divinize this process of surrender? How to divinize this process of surrender? He said, in every religion, or in almost all religions, people have said, or the founders have said, or the messengers have said, that you have to do godly service. For that, you will have to leave four corners of your house. As per Hindu religion also, it is said that right from the young age, you say we can become sannyasi, renounce the world and everything and do service, you see, of humanity and do study knowledge and all those things. In all religions, in Buddha religion, they have got another method that you can be sannyasi, you can renounce your family life and do all those things for 15 days, for 1 month, for 2 years, and like that, for a small period also you can renounce your family. In Islam also, everywhere in all religions, it is always there. In fact, in Hindu, there is one branch of religion. They do not accept it as a branch, but they establish it as a separate religion. It is known as Jain religion. In that it is mentioned that you have to renounce, if you want to attain salvation, if you want to attain salvation, you have to renounce your family life and become a sannyasi, and then only you can attain salvation. So my relative suggested us that you should divinize this process of surrender. Let the sisters do godly service. Let us do godly service through this process of surrender. And divinize this process. Let there be a surrender ceremony. Let there be surrender ceremony, and then let the sister invite her relatives, her father, mother, parents, and all the other relatives, and in front of them, let she openly say that I hereby renounce and I accept this Baba's knowledge and to do godly service and also to do my own service also. And then let the parents also give consent. So what happened that if you have this surrender ceremony, then people come to know that people have not left this their worldly life without the permission of their parents and other family members and all those things. And I remember, you see, when I wrote to Baba that let us divinize this process in 57, Baba said that, yes, it's a good idea, but who will do this type of service? Who will be able to do these things? And then first surrender ceremony services, that means godly service through surrender ceremony, took place in 57, I think, in Amritsar, where three sisters were there, three daughters of one brother. They were there, so there in Amritsar for the first time, the surrender ceremony service took place. And then it changed the atmosphere that we are surrendering, we are leaving our family and we are accepting this divine life as a part of godly service. And through this ceremony of surrender, what happened that we started doing godly service, and that changed the atmosphere. And slowly what happened that by this type of surrender ceremony and all those things, we built up an atmosphere for doing godly service. Otherwise, in those days, atmosphere was really, really very, very critical about our godly services. People were not prepared to listen to us. They were afraid. They will not like to talk to us. Then what happened? I'm just briefly referring to this early days of godly service. And then what happened? That in 61, I became Baba's child, you see, full time, you see. That means I accepted Brahma Baba, I accepted this knowledge as part of my life. And then we had our very first function. Rakhi festival was there. That was our first function, 61. So, Dadi Nirma Shanta was in Bombay. And we had a service planning meeting. How to do godly service. How to develop godly service. And I said to Dadi that Rakhi festival is coming. Let us have a big public function. Through public function, do godly service. So, Dadi asked me, what type of function we should have? I said, let us have a big function and I take on rent a very big auditorium in Bombay and invite people. Dadi Nirmashanta said, Ramesh, do you know, people hardly come to our centers, to our lectures. They are afraid. And I said, yes, I know, I have seen that in 1958, I have seen Dadi Janaki speaking in Bombay, giving a public lecture in front of a big audience of three people, out of which I was one and there were two others. So I realized that importance. That unless and until there is audience in front of you, how can you do godly service? People should be prepared to listen to you, if not to accept you, but should be there to listen to you. So we have to find out ways and means of how we are acceptable to the people. So in 61, I said, let us have a big function. So Dadi said, how can we do it? I said, Dadi, leave it to me, because I have got the experience. I was formerly connected with one social organization. And there we were organizing big functions. And that too also not free of charge. We used to charge money, tickets. We were selling tickets and all those things. And people used to, in big number, large number, 10,000, 15,000, people used to come. And so I told Dadi that, you leave it to me. I know how to do godly service for people, you see, how to be with the people, how to mix with the people, how to invite people, how to create interest of the people in our godly knowledge. But Dadi had no faith in me because she was not knowing how to, because I was also new to her, she was also new to me. And she was based on her own experiences that people do not come to our lectures and all those things. And so, she was afraid of giving me sanction to organize a big function for 10,000 people. There was a big debate. Ultimately, she said, okay, you see, you are new, you don't know these things that people do not come. Let us organize one small function. And when there will be nobody in the audience, then you will realize that it is not that easy to do godly service. I said, okay, I accepted this guidance from Dadi. I don't say it was a challenge, but it was a guidance to me that I must prepare fully, because I know that the limitations within which we have to do this godly service. So Dadi gave us sanction and we booked one hall for 350 people. That was also in those days, you see, it was a big step ahead. To think of inviting 350 people in the audience and do godly service of 350 people at a time. I mean, if you can meet one or two people and all those things, that's a separate question. But godly service on a large scale, that was a big question. So Dadi said, okay, we have booked the hall. Now let us see how you do godly service and organize this function. I said, okay, give me liberty to organize this function. And then with the invitation card, I wrote that invitation. Informally, what happened? They used to write discourse, lecture, public lecture. And people were scared because they did not want that dry lectures. They wanted something attractive. So I wrote, you are invited to participate in dialogue, drama, songs and all those things. And at the end, I wrote a discourse. So dialogue was there, drama was there, songs were there and all those things were there. And then at the end, there was a discourse. And for the first time, you see, we had a drama. I wrote the first drama of this institution. So somebody said, remarked in a jovial manner only, that I am the first Shakespeare of this knowledge. Because Shakespeare, you know, is expert for, worldwide known for dramas. Just as Brahma Baba is the first poet of this knowledge, because he was writing songs in those good old days. And then Mamma and others used to sing those songs. So Baba was the first poet of this knowledge. I had this first drama, a drama for godly service. And it was, the title of the drama was In Search of God. And Usha was the heroine, actress, so to say, of the drama. It was for about half an hour. Then this dialogue was there, you see. Instead of speaking and giving lecture like this, dialogue, two people just meet casually and then they discuss something. And in the form of discussion, in the form of dialogue, knowledge was given. Then we had songs also. Because people like songs, music and all those things. So we have to understand and what the people want. And based on that thing, if we give to the people, then what will happen? That type of godly service will be useful. And I remember, you see, 350 people, you see, we opened the gates at 3 o'clock, and within 5 minutes, hall was house full. And like that, you see, we started public service. And thereby people, our divine family knew how to do godly service also of the public on a large scale. 350 people, then like slowly and slowly it went on, you see. Here in Mount Abu also, we had formally class in Pandav Bhavan, a small class. There was one, Ishudadi's office was there near that, you see, in the front, sisters used to sit and at the back, brothers used to sit. Small class, then history hall was constructed, then meditation hall, then international peace, that means universal peace hall. Then this Gyan Sarovar, then this Shantivan. Like that, you see, slowly and slowly godly service. And through godly service, you see, the image of this institution developed. So many things slowly and slowly were developed in this divine family for the purpose of doing godly service. And this is how, you see, we learn, you see. In those beginning, in those days, you see, the emphasis was on pure knowledge. About Gita, that who is Gita sermonizer and all those things. Those questions were being discussed in the classes, in Baba's Murli also. Baba used to discuss this question, you see, about the omnipresence of God. That means the philosophical aspect of our knowledge was these key subject in our this discourses, in our public image, and all those things also. And that was absolutely essential. Whenever you want to establish any religion, then what happens? Either you have to compromise and give some concessions to the people, and then people will accept you. Because you are giving some concessions, so people like to accept concessions and therefore they will accept you. Or the other way around is to change and attack their faith and give them true knowledge, true information. Then what will happen? Then they will say, oh, what is this? Why they are telling like this? And then in that case also, when you do this type of service by attacking people, I remember, you see, when we were in 71 in America, we had gone there first to participate in one retreat, Avosting retreat. It was at a place known as Avosting. It was about 100 or 120 miles from New York. And there I was thinking with Baba that, Baba, how to do godly service? How to do godly service? Because it was the beginning, the dawn of foreign service. God, we have to lay the seeds. Because we were told by Baba that we have to establish one godly service center in the east and one godly service center in the west. But the foundation was, it required foundation of method, how to do it. So in the morning what happened that in that Avosting retreat, there was one brother, you see, he was having tape recorder. And he was, in that, through that tape recorder, you see, he was there was one lecture of some expert, I think Krishnamurti was there, you see, J. Krishnamurti. I don't know whether you have heard this name. Those who are expert in the, those who have connection with, in the field of philosophy, particularly Indian philosophers, J. Krishnamurti, they will be able to understand him. So, I just went casually, what they are doing, there were a big group of about 100 people, you see, sitting together and listening to them. So I went there and I had a curiosity, what is this, what they are teaching and what they are, and then you see, I heard that speech of J. Krishnamurti. He is supposed to be a renowned philosopher of India. In those days, in his days, you see, he was very famous. So at the end, you see, people started discussing, oh, what a nice discourse and what a nice method and what a nice philosophy and all those things. And then I thought that, what is this? People are accepting such things, you see, which are not correct, which are most inconsistent and most illogical in their approach. And even then, you see, because of this blind faith, people are accepting these things. So I said to everybody, why you are accepting these things, you see? Look, he made so many comments, he made so many remarks which are inconsistent. So people started looking at me and said, what is this? What are you saying? And then I spoke for about 15-20 minutes. And then those people, you see, said, oh, yeah. Then they realized the inconsistency and all those things of worldly philosophy, because that J. Krishnamurti was a worldly philosopher. And because of that meeting and that attack, because then I realized that attack is the best policy. Sometimes, you see, for doing godly service also, attack is the best policy. Sometimes when we go on defending, then you cannot, people may not accept you. But when you attack them, and then when they realize their limitations and all those things. So that was the mood developed by that meeting. And because of that, we received invitation. That one, from one lady in New York. She said, okay, you come to my studio. She had one studio, she was teaching, she was a yoga teacher. And she invited us to come to she was teaching yoga and all those things. She had hired one place. So she said, you come to us. So when we went back to New York, then we had to go to Pittsburgh. I remember, you see, I had that philosophy of attacking in order to do godly service, attack people. And I had my first lecture in Pittsburgh, in Pittsburgh University. A relative of mine was a student there in Pittsburgh University, and he had invited, and through the head of the philosophy department, my lecture was arranged in Pittsburgh University on the subject of incarnation of God. That was the first lecture overseas in America, in Pittsburgh University. We had both functions in Carnegie Mellon University and Pittsburgh University. And that was, Pittsburgh University was the first one where we had our first lecture in Pittsburgh. You know, Pittsburgh is former capital of America. And then it was shifted to Washington. So there you see, while giving my lecture, you see, I had that idea that I have to attack, in order to do godly service, I have to attack the ideas and philosophy and faith of the people. So while speaking, you see, on the subject of incarnation of God, I said to the people that the Darwin principle of evolution is not correct, it is inconsistent. And people blindly accept Darwin's principle. So I just attacked Darwin's principle of evolution. And there was one professor. He got up and he said, Mr. Shah, you are from the field of philosophy. How can you attack a scientific principle of Darwinian theory of evolution? So I wanted that opportunity of doing godly service of through attack, bring about change in their thinking. At least if not change, at least let them start thinking, let the ball start rolling. In those days, you see, that was the essential aim of doing godly service. Let us start ball rolling in the minds of the people about what they are thinking, about what they are doing, about what they are believing, and about what they are behaving. That was, in those early days, that was the early aim of doing godly service. So I told that professor that, why not, you see, I mean, to tell something about science is not the monopoly of those who deal with science. Anybody can attack and understand science also. If you give me time, I can prove that Darwinian principle is not correct. So he said, yes, yes, you prove it. How can you challenge Darwin's theory? It is an accepted principle. I still remember those early days of godly service. The first lecture in USA, you see, on this subject. And I had also that spirit, fresh from that Augustine retreat. So I said, yes, give me time. And then everybody said, okay, how much time you want? I said, give me 2 hours. And I said, allow me to change my topic from incarnation of God to this Darwinian principle as to what is real evolution and how the world came into being. So they all agreed, and they gave me 2 hours. And for 2 hours, I spoke in detail about the Darwinian principles and how they are wrong. And I gave pure knowledge of Baba, you see, as to Baba, how Baba is giving us this knowledge of how the world came into being. And what is golden age and all those things, you see, I mean, I discuss those things. I remember those early days of godly service. And then at the end of 2 years or 2 hours, I said, you see, I mean, I have just tried to put in nutshell before you. If you want to study more, you study in detail Brahma Kumari's knowledge, and then you will, and Brahma Kumari's philosophy, and then you will learn these things. I remember, you see, then that professor, he got up and said that today I have learned that yes, in the field of science also there are so many illogical steps which are based on more of our mere faith in him, faith in them. The other one, when a lady professor was there, you see, got up and said that there is always a fight between science and philosophy. And normally, science is aggressive and philosophy is defensive. Today we saw for the first time that philosophy was aggressive and science was defensive. So like that, you see, that was the old days, those old days were there, you see, how to do godly service and all those things, you see. And this is what Sri Baba also had done when he came down on this earth. He just changed our beliefs and faiths. He challenged all our beliefs and faiths, particularly from the field of philosophy, as to about what, who is Rama, who is Krishna, and God is omnipresent, and all those things were there. Those were the early days of doing godly service. And then slowly and slowly, you know it, how godly service has developed. I wanted to share with you two experiments also of godly service, which you all can do it. And if you can do these things, then you will realize that it includes everything. It includes giving knowledge, it includes sustaining also, inculcation of our divine virtues in our lives also. It also involves yoga also, all put together in this experiment. The method is simple. It is just like doing what you call as radio or television services. It's just like radio and television service. But Brahma Baba and at present Sri Baba also is doing this. You know, in case of radio, what happens? There is somebody who is reading news. For example, somebody is reading news in his cabin. And then what happens? Those who have tuned their radio to that particular station from where this news are being broadcasted, they are able to listen to him. One step ahead, these are the days of television. And then what happens if you have switched on that particular channel? Then what happens? You are not only able to see the person who is reading the news, but also many times they also have some visuals also. Am I right? All of you must have this experience of radio, that means news service through radio and news service through television. Am I right? All of you have got this experience. In the same manner, we can also do this type of godly service. We can also convert ourselves into first person speaking news on a radio station or on a TV station also. It depends on us. It depends on our operation, our operators, and how we believe in how we do godly service. Method is simple. We all sit in yoga in the morning at 4 o'clock. I don't know about you, but in India we have got this tendency to read Murali after in the early morning, you see. We were reading, I mean, in India we have got this tendency that we take one Murali from the class, the teacher distributes Murali, and then what happens that we take one copy to our home. We read it during the daytime. Next day we bring it back, we give it to the teacher, and then we get another Murali. Like that, you see, one Murali is given for our home study and the one Murali is being read in the class. I don't know in your country, what you are doing, in your classes, what you are doing. But that is what we have in Bombay, you see, that method is there. So we had that method of reading Murali at our home, for our home, that means for inculcation of divine virtues and all those things, for studying Murali with great attention. Now, if we utilize this reading of Murali, like reading of news, and do godly service, if we experiment with these things, then what will happen? You have to have a target. You know, person reading the news in the radio station or in the television center, he has a target that those who are connected with his radio station or his TV channel, they will be able to listen to him, or in case of TV, they will be able to see him also. So he has that targeted audience. Baba also has a targeted audience. I don't know whether you remember that many times in Sakar Murali, daily Murali, you see, Brahma Baba said that Baba is speaking in front of his children, not only who are speaking in front of him, but all his children, all throughout, that means in those days it was India only, so all throughout India. In some cases, Brahma Baba has said also that he is giving this Murali in front of the children, not only of the present, but in future also. Baba has said, utilize those words. We were not knowing the impact of this word, that children of future, that we were not knowing. Now we realize that because of this revised courses, what happens? You were at that time the future children. You, the future children, have become now the present children. Still many more will come also. Still many future children will slowly and slowly take birth in this divine family. So, same thing happens in case of Avyakta Murali also. The very first sentence of Avyakta Babdada's Murali is that today Baba is in front of the children, in front of children of all the places. In Hindi it is charo aur ke bachon ke milne ke liye aa rahe. And then he will use some of those words based on which the entire Murali will follow. He just gives that hint in the very first sentence. But he has in front of him the target, the children in front and children not only in front but listening to him also, and all those things are there, those who are going to be the future children and all those things. So the targeted audience should be always there. So you also should sit in meditation first and then remember that those who have connection with you, just in case of radio station, what happens? Those who have link with that particular radio station, they will be able to listen to him. Or those who have link with that particular television channel, they will be able to listen to you. Or have audio-visual perception of that particular person, you see. In the same manner, you can also say that those who have connection with me through this knowledge, because we have to build connections, we have to give message. And therefore, you see, through you only they are getting message with Baba. That means they are going to establish their link with Baba through you. So you are acting like messengers. We are all, when we are doing godly service, we are messengers. We should have that consciousness that we are messengers, we are giving message to all, or at least those who are connected with us. We will have various varieties of connections with people. If you look at the world drama and the whole 5,000 years, then there will be two types of people connected with us. Number one, that those who are going to be in the golden age and silver age, they will have direct connection with you. And secondly, Those who will not be able to come to golden age and silver age, but even then, if they have their own golden age from the beginning of the copper age, that means what Baba says, that those who may worship you, those who worship your idols, to whom you will be, your image or your statue will be kept in temples, and then you see, or other places, and then they will be worshipping. So you will be for them a worship for the soul. So those type of people are also there, so they will also receive Baba's message. I know it's rather bit difficult for you to understand and appreciate this thing. But when you practice, then you will realize that you will have clear-cut understanding and clear-cut distinction between two types of people. One with whom you will be coming into contact in the golden age and silver age. And the other one with whom you will be coming into contact from the beginning of copper age. The whole drama of the future world, future 5,000 years, is being built by us, of our own fortune, of our own future. I always believe in one of those Baba's Sakar Murlis, that Baba says that you are all Master Brahma of your future. You have to build, Baba has said. In fact, when we have done this, we had our first exhibition on Raj Yoga, I wrote to Brahma Baba that, Baba, I want the last picture of this exhibition series by you, and message at the end of that, so that that message will be carried to all the people. That will be the parting message of people going through this Raj Yoga exhibition. And Brahma Baba had designed that thing, you see, that the world is on the deathbed. On the top, atom bomb and hydrogen bombs are there, you see, and on the side, sannyasi is reading scriptures and all those things. And Brahma Kumari is giving knowledge, and knowledge going through one and then moving out from the other one. I don't know whether you have seen that picture. We have done godly service through that picture. In fact, through Raj Yoga exhibition only we received international invitation. We started foreign service because this invitation for participation in Avosting retreat also came only because of this Raj Yoga exhibition which we had organized. There was one international conference on yoga and science in Delhi. One Mr. Christopher Hills of UK had organized this conference in Delhi. We participated in that conference, and at that time we had organized this Raj Yoga exhibition. And the president of this Avosting retreat came to that conference, and he liked our things, and he invited us to participate in that conference, in this retreat. And there we made it, we decided that we can go there. And I had a discussion with him. I said that, yes, can we organize this exhibition in your Avosting retreat? And he said, yes, you can certainly organize this exhibition in our Avosting retreat. And so on. Godly service started with Raj Yoga exhibition. And the last picture of that exhibition was designed by Brahma Baba. And the message at the bottom was that your future is in your hands. You are the master of your own future. That was the message in those good old days. Now, this Raj Yoga exhibition, you see, has changed many hands, and many things have come in between, you see. Now we have got various varieties of exhibitions. But that was the first pioneering experiment. So same thing happens now also. If you can, in the morning, If you can read the Murali, not silently, but reading it, means with voice, with your vocal cord here, you see, just as in the news, in the radio news, what happens from the radio station, and the person is reading the news. You have followed this question. Reading the news, like that, read the Murali, and have that inculcation of thought that, yes, I am reading this Murali, I am doing godly service of those people, you see, who will be connected with me, or who will be connected with Baba. If not with me, at least with Baba. So with that aim, do that, read that Murali. And if you have more subtle consciousness, what Baba has said, Farishta, angelic group, angelic state, it all depends how you have developed your own angelic stage. And if you read Murali in that angelic stage, then what will happen? People will also have divine glimpses of yours also, or through you, of Baba, and many things also can happen. If you have listened to many experiences of many of the souls of India who have taken divine birth, many of them had received message of Brahma Baba in their subtle form. Many people can look at Brahma Baba's picture and then say, oh, yes, yes, I know him, I know him. In fact, even Usha also had this message of Brahma Baba in that subtle form. And ultimately that is going to be the last form of godly service. Godly service through our subtle form, through these subtle messages, through this subtle manner. Read the Murali, and then what will happen? People who have connection with you, or who are going to have connection with Baba, they will slowly and slowly start receiving this message. Godly service has got various means and ways. Sometimes through your money, sometimes through your messages, sometimes through your vibrations, sometimes through your thoughts, and all those things, godly service spreads. I don't know whether you have heard the experience of Brother Atam Prakash. You know Brother Atam Prakash of Gyanamrut? What happened that when he was a student, he was studying for his engineering examination, and at that time he came to know Baba. He and Brother Om Prakash and another brother Jagdish, these three were classmates in Nabha, that is in Punjab, and there they came to know the Baba, you see. So formally what happened, that they were staying in a hostel, university hostel, college hostel. So that what happened, that they changed that the residence from hostel, they booked one room, they started living in that room. And what happened, that money that they were getting from their parents, of in case of Atam Prakash, from his brother. His brother was sending him 100 rupees every month. So what happened, that Atam Prakash and Om Prakash and others, they started doing godly service. During the daytime they used to go to the college, in the morning and evening they were doing godly service. So this money which they were getting from their parents or from their brother, they had their indirect influence on their parents and on their brother also. If you read his experience, if you ask him, he will give you this explanation. Because when they were in college, they were now in their own room. So they were cooking their own food and all those things. They had stopped eating non-veg things and all those things, also garlic and onions and all those things. They were having pure Brahmin food. So they were afraid that when at the end of the college term, during vacation, they will have to go to their residence. And then at the residence, the normal food will be there, because they were not vegetarians, they were also I think Atam Prakash brother, his parents there were so, they used to have non-veg and all those things also. So they were worried what to do. If they go there, then they will have to tell their parents and brothers and others that they will not eat this food. And on that side, what happened? This money which they were getting, you see, had its own effect and impact on, I particularly know about brother Atam Prakash, that is brother Lakshman, you see, who was sending 100 rupees. His parents and others, you see, I mean, that they had sudden change in their family attitude and food and habits and all those things. And so they stopped eating garlic and all those things. And they were worried that if Atam Prakash comes and he wants food and he will say, come on, where is garlic, where is onion, where is non-veg food and all those things, and they have stopped eating, what will happen? You know, on this side, they had also changed their food habits. His brother and others, they had also changed their food habits, but they were not knowing the transformation with each other. So when he went to his house, the mother said, Atnam, today you will get simple food. You will not have garlic, you will not have onions and all those things. So this is what he wanted. And his mother was worried that, if she gives his food without these things, then how he will eat? Because formerly he had all those, everything in his food, you see. And now, mother was not knowing this transformation in brother Atam Prakash. And then, you see, they came to know about transformation in each of them, you see, in the family and in Atam Prakash and Om Prakash and all those things. So like that, you see, there is always that subtle transformation, subtle vibrations and all those subtle transformations. So if you conduct this experiment for 1 month, then you will find that many people will come to you or come to Baba also through these type of subtle experiences and experiments and vibrations. And that is the subtle services. We have got godly service through physical form also. Second is through our voice also. But as Baba has said, 3 types of service. In Hindi it is karmana, vacha and mansa. Karmana means through physics. That is also essential. You have to do some physical exercise, physical service also. Through vacha, through words also. And the third one is the subtle services. And subtle services, they are the most powerful, most effective. Because there, the sky is the limit. Unlimited service is possible through these subtle methods. So like that, you see, if we treat ourselves, read Murli for 15, just conduct this experiment for 15 days or 1 month. 1 month is the ideal time. Read Murli at the end of the, you have to do a yoga asana from 4 to 4:45. And then for 15 minutes, read Murli loudly. I know, you see, I have done this experiment. It does not take more than 20 minutes to read Murli loudly. Sit there as if you are a teacher. And you are teaching and you are reading Murli. And that audience is in front of you. I asked Dadi Janki that when you were speaking in front of 3, was there any inferiority complex in you? She said, no. I was not having any inferiority complex. Otherwise, sometimes what happens? If you find only hardly a couple of people, you see, then what happens? We ourselves, you see, have that complex that, only three people were there. What to do? Why to waste our time and energy and all those things? But Dadi Janki said, there's nothing doing. She thought that this is just a stepping stone for a wider and bigger service also. So like that, if we have that open mind, and read Murli and say that, okay, those who are connected with me or those who will be receiving Baba's message or those who have that fortune, those who want to develop their fortune and their link with Baba, I am giving this Murli, I am giving this message. And act as a messenger. Read as a messenger. It's not that Christ and other Srishti, they only acted as messengers. We are all messengers. Because for our own future, for our own kingdom, for our own people, they will have to have message through us. That seed will be there, and then they will slowly and slowly develop this type of godly service. And through that godly service, they will establish their link with Baba. So there are many ways and means of doing godly service. Good godly service, as it is said, unlimited. Sky is the limit for doing godly service. So many varieties are there of doing godly service. Because there are limitations in knowledge, there are limitations of doing yoga, there are limitations about inculcation of divine virtues and all those things. But in case of godly service, there is no limit. Even while doing yoga also you can do godly service or spread vibrations. I know you see, because I already exceeded my time. Otherwise I can tell you that how through yoga also we can do godly service. Just as through Murli we are able to do godly service, like that through yoga also we can do godly service. We can give experiences to others also. Experience of peace, bliss, love and all those things we can give. We have learned all those things from Brahma Baba also. That how Brahma Baba used to give experience through yoga. I cannot control myself of giving you one example of Brahma Baba doing yoga and giving experience through yoga. You know Dada Vishwakishore, he was formerly right hand of Baba, you see, during his lifetime. He was Baba's nephew also. And he was operated in Bombay. So when he was operated, you see, I was there, you see, I was taking, night time I was sleeping there, you see, to take care of his health. Daily in the morning from the hospital, I would go to the center and tell Dadi Prakashmani what happened in the hospital. And from Abu, there will be telephone from Brahma Baba that how Dada Vishwakishore had his how was the condition of Dada Vishwakishore during the night, whether he got sleep and food and all those things, you see. So to inquire about the health of Dada Vishwakishore, Baba used to telephone in the morning and in the evening. So the morning time I used to convey everything to Dadi Prakashmani, and Dadi was conveying to Baba. So on the third night, when I came back from hospital, I went to the center, I told Dadi that, oh Dadi, something is wrong with Dada, Baba brother, you see, Vishwaratan, Vishwakishore. He is not getting sleep. He is not getting sleep because of the pain. And the doctors say that they will not give him injection or tablets, sleeping tablets or injection to sleep. That doctors will not give him because of the operation. He was operated prostrate. And then when I was just speaking like this, you see, I told about my this worry about Dada Vishwakishore's health. The phone came from Abu, and Baba said, ask this question to Dadi, how was Dada Vishwakishore's health last night? And she said, Dadi told Brahma Baba that, oh, Dada had a sleepless night. Dada could not sleep. He had lots of pain and all those things, you see. So Brahma Baba was informed about these things. And then what happened? On that night, when I was there in the hospital, I found that Dada Vishwakishore had a nice sleep. Dada Vishwakishore had a nice sleep. So I was wondering how it happened. A sudden change, you see. On the third night, Dada Vishwakishore had no sleep. On the fourth night, Dada Vishwakishore had a sound sleep. Without any medicine, without anything. So next day, morning, when I went to the center from the hospital, I said to Dadi, yes, Dadi, today Dada Vishwakishore had nice sleep. I was also having no tension. I said Dada had a nice sleep. He was enjoying his sleep. So Dadi informed this thing to Baba. And then Didi Manmohini was here, you see. Didi Manmohini, she was additional administrative head. Dadi Janki became additional administrative head after the death of Didi Manmohini. So Didi Manmohini was taking care at Mount Abu, and Dadi Prakash Mani was taking care in Bombay. So Didi Manmohini told Dadi Prakash Mani that, Prakash Mani, why did you inform Baba that Dada had no sleep last night? That means year before, day before night. Why? Because then Baba had done yoga all throughout the night and gave vibrations of sleep, peace, and all those things to Dada Vishwakishore. He gave the donation of those vibrations. You have followed this? He gave this vibration, a donation of these vibrations of peace and all those things by doing yoga all throughout the night. And because of these vibrations of peace and all those things, you see, which Baba was sending from Mount Abu to the hospital in Bombay, through this subtle manner, Dada Vishwakishore was having nice sleep all throughout the night. I was observing him. And so Didi Manmohini told Dadi that you should not tell these things, otherwise what will happen? If Brahma Baba has to do whole night yoga, then Baba's blood pressure will go up, Baba's health will be spoiled and all those things. So please don't tell this type of things to Baba. So we stopped telling these things. But point is that by doing yoga, Baba had sent these vibrations of peace and all those things because of which Dada Vishwakishore had nice sleep there in the hospital. So it is possible. Yoga is such a nice instrument whereby you can do everything. Through your voice also, through your words also. Baba has said in one of his murlis that through your voice, through your words, you can give blessings to others also. And remember while doing that, you should not waste your words also. Otherwise, through your words, you can curse also somebody. Because now, your voice has power. You know, electricity is a power, you see. I mean, if you have a 6-volt current, then if you have a connection with it, you don't feel anything. But if it is 240 volts, then what should you get shock, and it may result in death also, because of the power. So like that, yoga is, it all depends on yoga also, how powerful our yoga is there, and how powerful our stage is there. Based on our powerful yoga, powerful stage, and all those things, through our words also, we can give curse also, we can give blessings and also, and all those things are there. And therefore, while doing godly service, we have to remember many things. That we are as an angel, we are as a messenger, we have all those things, if we have positive things, and then we are using this knowledge, we are using yoga, we are through our actions and all those things also we can do godly service. So there are so many ways and means of doing godly service. It is not one. But time is limited and the subject is so vast, it is said unlimited godly service. I don't know why the sisters gave me this subject. But it is an unlimited subject. Not unlimited topic, you see. We can do so many things. Because the history of the institution is based on the godly service that we have done so far, and also what we will be doing in future. Based this godly service is the foundation of this institution. And I am sure you all will be able to develop this godly service in this grand manner and build your own future through godly service. I'm sorry we have exceeded my time, but I wanted to share with you this experiment. And if 5% of you also do this type of godly service as a radio, I'm in charge of a person reading news on a radio station or in a TV station, and do experiment with these things. Find out, do new varieties of godly service. Bring about new ways and means of doing godly service. As I have said, sky is the limit for doing godly service, unlimited godly service. Om Shanti, thank you.